A very, very good morning to you as you continue to make your way to your pews. We want to thank you so much for joining us on this Palm Sunday, a day of triumph, not tragedy. And we are so thankful for the Lord coming as King. Amen. Amen. We want to highlight this Tuesday, April 11th at 11:30 a.m. There'll be a widow's luncheon at Country Fair Restaurant in Myerstown. And we just asked you to contact Jean Myers at the phone number you'll see listed in your bulletin to have your seat reserved. We also just want to highlight the Summer Volleyball League. If you haven't signed up yet, we would appreciate no later than today if you could let Rachel know if you're playing on the Summer Volleyball League. And we appreciate those players that have been signing up. And then this Friday, we have an incredible service planned for you, a Good Service Friday. That is beginning at 7:30 p.m. That's this Friday, Good Friday, and we are so excited what God has in store for that event held here at Little Switch Horror. On Easter Sunday, we will just have one service at 10:30 at Alta La Hala at 6:30 a.m. There'll be the Easter Sunrise Service, so we invite you to join us at Alta La Hala at 6:30 a.m. and then here at Little Switch Horror at 10:30 for our Easter service. We also just want to highlight, you'll notice a really pretty colored insert in your bulletin. It is the mother-daughter banquet on May 13th starting at 6 p.m. And there are reservations required. So there's a sign-up sheet in the narthex just located behind you there. And it's called Sweet Temptations. And I love the verse they use, Psalm 34:8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." So it sounds like a delicious event and a great opportunity for mothers and daughters to join together for a special time. Any other announcements you'd like to highlight this morning? Our Lenten journey to the cross this morning comes from Matthew 21, verses 6 to 11. Matthew 21, verses 6 to 11. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the tree and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Would you join me? And as the kids sing, and then our congregational responsive prayer. Wonderful job, children. As they lay the palms at the cross, would you please rise and join me in our congregational responsive prayer? Lord Jesus. The crowds shouted their hosannas. We too praise you because you are our King. Help us to show others to acknowledge you as King. Lord Jesus, break the silence of your people and cause them to take to the streets again, proclaiming and demonstrating the joyful good news that you are King and that you have made a way for us to know you and love each other. Let's worship together.
Please join us in singing Shout to the Lord.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship.
We invite you at this time, as a microphone's passed around, to share in any joys or concerns. We especially ask you this morning to keep Brother Tim Reinhardt in prayer as he's dealing with a situation right now. He's awake, but not very aware and conscious of what's happening, and his words are being spoken, but not really in correlation with things that are making sense. So we just pray for God's special touch upon Tim and many others this morning as we look at our prayer concerns in our bulletin and hear any others that are brought up this morning. Let's pray. Father God, you know our hearts. You know the situations upon them. You know what we're facing this very moment. And we're asking you, Father, to meet us there in that place. We know, Father, that you are present in our lives, and there are times where we struggle, times that we suffer and we question, where are you? But Father, we know that you are very near. And we just thank you, Father, for the prayers of our hearts, those people that are on our minds right now, and you know exactly who they are. And we just want to pray specifically by name this morning for Rufus and Dorothy, for Ruth and John, for Carl and Faye, for Earl, and for Carol and Pete, and for Bonnie, and for Lauren, and for Lugva, and for Glenn, and for Esther, and for Tim, and for Jane. And we lift up Bud and his family as they mourn the loss of their sister and family member, and just praise you, Father, that we can turn to you in our hour of need and know that you bring us the comfort that we're searching. You bring us the compassion that we need in our trying moments. And we just thank you for the patience that you give us to deal with life's difficulties. But now, Father, we know that this is a triumphant day, but many see this as a tragic day because they thought you were coming as a conquering king and you were going to battle Rome. But Father, you came to bring peace, and we are so thankful for the peace that you give us in our lives. And we just know that peace also surpasses our understanding. And we know, Father, the sin that we have committed this week, and we just turn to you in this hour, and we just ask you, Father, for that forgiveness that your Son offers through the cross. And so we ask that you would hear our prayers of confession and also those prayers upon our hearts during these moments of silent prayer. Father, we pray for your strength. We pray that you would encourage us as we face difficulties, that you would spur us on as we continue to go about the calling upon our lives to share the good news. We pray for guidance, Father, in various situations where we're searching for your will in our lives, and we ask that your will would be done. We thank you, Father, for each person represented here in this sanctuary. And we know, Father, that it's not about this building, but it's about what's outside these four walls. And may your love go forth. May we demonstrate kindness and compassion. May we show patience with others. And may we speak truth in that love that you have given us so freely. We just thank you, Father, for gathering us here safely. And we know many are being persecuted across the globe, and we ask your protection upon them. We especially think of our brothers and sisters in Nigeria and ask that you would continue to surround them and let them know the unfailing love that you offer. And we just come to you now, Father, and we just ask that you would help us to continue to worship you, not only Sunday mornings, but worship you throughout every day of our lives. For we know that you are continually good, and we know that you have a plan. And we just live into that plan for this church, for us as individuals, and we glorify you in our worship. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Join us as we continue to worship with How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make the wretched's treasure.
In Acts 2:17 it reads, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Friends, dreaming is a good thing. The playwright George Bernard Shaw wrote, "You see things and you say, why? But I dream things that never were and I say, why not?" Looking into the future with hope and expectation is God's gift. He will always allow us to glimpse his glorious plan if we will but broaden our vision to include the unimaginable. Would you pray with me? Father, we confess there are things we take for granted each day. But Father, we pray that you would enable us to see the part in bringing them to fruition. We know, God, that you are more than able. You can take the impossible and make it possible. So we're praying, Father, now as we enter into this time of offering, that you would stir our hearts, that you would cause us to be cheerful in providing in the abundance that you have given to us. And we know, Father, that you are glorified as we act in this behalf. And it's in Jesus' name, amen.
As the worship team sings "In Christ Alone," we invite you to join us in singing if you want to, or we invite you to just peacefully sit there and contemplate the words as we sing them. It's a wonderful, powerful song, "In Christ Alone."
Come for me.
to invite the children up for children's moment. I'm sure you all know what this is. Can anyone tell me what this is?
Crown.
It's a crown, that's right. Do any of your school teachers use a crown to help someone feel special for a day?
No.
Like student of the day, do any of your teachers do that? Your teacher does that?
For when somebody's birthday.
When it's someone their birthday? That's.
And a sticker too.
A sticker?
People know that it's their birthday.
Like the star student.
The star student? Well, this crown should say Student of the Day, but I forgot to write it on there. Being Student of the Day has a lot of privileges. Does Star Student have any privileges with it?
Mm-mm.
Not that you know of? Well, Student of the Day, some of the privileges that are included are they get to be first in line to go anywhere that the line needs to be led. Maybe they get to eat lunch first. The student of the day also has special things, such as taking the attendance folder to the office. It's a really good feeling if you have the student of the day. Because all your friends, they look up to you then. Do you know the one bad part about being student of the day?
Well, instead of like having a student of the day in my class, we have a job that everybody is responsible of. There is five people, and there is 5 days of a week. So those are the helpers of the week. On Friday, we get a paper, and we send it home. And the people, that's like, those are like the helpers of the week. And we get that paper, and what Mrs. White does, she writes their names on the paper. Like if Kyle, Priella.
Okay, can I keep going?
Okay, yeah.
Thank you. The only bad part about Student of the Day is it's only one day. That kind of reminds me of something that happened in the city of Jerusalem. Have any of you heard of the city of Jerusalem before? Well, this event happened 2,000 years ago. That's a long time ago, wasn't it? Yeah. There was a king in the streets hoping to get to people. No, there was a king visiting the city. And people lined the streets just to hope and see this king. The king was riding on a small donkey. And as he rode through the streets, people spread their cloaks on the ground and they put palm branches on the floor, on the ground. And they shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna, the son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." I'm sure you all know who that king is. Can someone tell me who that king is?
Jesus,
that's right. Today we remember the entry of Jesus and into Jerusalem and the people cheering and shouting and waving those palm branches. Like how you guys came in here waving the palm branches, that's what the people were doing then.
Really?
Really, they were waving their palm branches and shouting Hosanna.
Awesome.
That is awesome. But you know what the only problem was there?
What?
It only lasted one day. Later that same week, do you know what happened to Jesus?
He died.
Those people that were cheering for him, they beat him, arrested him, crucified him.
What?
All those people that were for him turned against him. Now he wore a crown, but this crown was a crown of thorns. Yeah, that hurt if it was on your head. The Bible tells us one day every knee will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The question is, why wait? Why not give your heart to Jesus today and allow his forgiveness to you? Why not today? Jesus wants to be ruler of your life. not just one day, like student of the day. He wants to be the king of your life every day. Can we do that? Can we let him be our king every day?
Yeah.
Yes? Let's pray. Jesus, we adore you. We crown you as our Lord and King. We give our lives in service to you, not just for today, but every day. Amen. You guys can go back to your seats. Thanks for joining.
Would you all rise and join me in singing and making a loud, joyful noise, singing How Great Is Our God?
Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this opportunity to enter into a time in your word. We know, Father, that your word still speaks to us this day. We know, Father, that it was triumph or tragedy that very day you entered into Jerusalem. And so as followers, as seekers, as those that are trying to discover who we are in you, we come before you And we ask that you would give us ears to hear, that you would open our hearts and our minds, and you would allow us to hear the word that you have for us today. And it's in Jesus' most precious, precious name that we pray. Amen. It's in John chapter 12, verses 17 and 18, that this very day is set up for us. The crowd that had been with Jesus when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. This Sunday parade of palms is ultimately a celebration of resurrection. But all this is preceded by this confusing death. We know that Lazarus died. We don't know how he died. The scripture only says that he was sick. It's unusual for the Bible to give all the details. But death by illness in the first century was no doubt horrible. We know his death brings profound grief to his sisters, Martha and Mary, who we can say nursed him as best as they knew how. And so Jesus, their dear friend, who happens to be the greatest healer in the history of the entire world, has not yet come. We remember the added grief upon grief for these sisters. As we look at the scriptures further, we realize Jesus didn't even show up for the funeral. And when he doesn't show up, we recall that 4 days have passed and there begins to be a smell. And furthermore, we can conclude the corpse was beginning to decompose. Why, Jesus, where were you? These were the agonizing questions both sisters expressed. They weren't the only ones asking. Others present were even muttering, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? He had saved others. Couldn't he save Lazarus? To Martha, Jesus gave a hint of his purpose, but he was far too troubled in spirit for much to say to Mary. But then, friends, it's only a matter of minutes. We can imagine in our minds right now Lazarus, Martha, and Mary in this trifold embrace, weeping together with unexpected, awe-filled joy. You see, Jesus had done exactly what he foretold in John 5:25, which reads, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." But friends, so much more was going on than happy siblings or stunned observers or even what Jesus' disciples tried to understand. Not only did this resurrection demonstrate with power the reality of who Jesus was, it also set into motion the fulfillment of prophecy. The word of Lazarus being raised from the dead, you can imagine how it spread like wildfire. The Jewish authorities had more serious concern over this Jesus, and it escalates to an alarm, and they plot and they scheme to kill him. Jesus now lays low for a few weeks, and then he reappears in Bethany to share one last and remarkable supper at the home of his friends. The word again gets out very quickly, and soon there is a large crowd gathered to catch a glimpse, not only of Jesus, but of the man who came out of the tomb and more than likely now has become a reluctant celebrity. This moment, ironically, proves to be deadly. since the authorities are planning to not only take Jesus' life, but now Lazarus's. But Jesus, he knows exactly what's going on. The timing of this horrible death, of his astonishing resurrection, of Jesus laying low, and now of his public reappearance are all coordinated with an exact precision that would not get noticed until later. Friends, his hour had come at last. He no longer lays low. The news must spread. It's time, as Psalm 24:7 reads, for the ancient gates to raise their heads and the ancient doors to lift in homage. The King of Glory was on his way. And so that news spread and the crowd swells to receive in procession the one who had raised a man from the dead. Is there any doubt he is the Messiah? Oh, doubts will come, but few would doubt that day. People grabbed palm branches, a symbol of Jewish nationalism, and they cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Few, if any, recognize the fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy, which reads, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. But friends, again, Jesus recognizes the moment. And so he found a young donkey and he sat on it. Now remember, I did say a few doubted that day. And you can guess who those few are. They're wielded with a lethal amount of earthly power. So as those Pharisees watched this very potent moment with unmistakable implications unfold, they said to each other, you see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. But this, my friends, was not at all resignation. The crowd's jubilation only hardened the authorities' resolve to kill the dead raising Son of God. And Jesus, he knew this very well. In the midst of this prophetic palm-waving party, Jesus knew that it would trigger the fulfillment of yet another prophecy. Isaiah 53:5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. You see, Jesus knew that Lazarus' death would result in resurrection. He knew that this would result in the crowd's celebration. He knew that this would result in the council's homicidal determination. And he knew the determination would result in his unjust accusations. But he also knew these accusations would result in his own brutal death by crucifixion. But friends, there will be a resurrection far more glorious and earth-shaking than Lazarus's. Palm Sunday, we know, is called a prophetic precursor. One week later, the Son of God defeats death. And there begins a celebration that continues to this very day. And we know triumph has been won over tragedy. And now, Jesus calls his people, you and I, to risk everything for him. But friends, we know that that temporary risk is nothing. Nothing at all compared to all that God is and will be. Now we can imagine as Jesus approaches Jerusalem, expectations were very high. He's already been hailed as son of David. Soon he'll be applauded as king. He's already declared that salvation has come this day. Could this be the moment they've been waiting for? The kingdom of God finally being brought in. Jesus as its king in his capital, Jerusalem. This becomes that moment of triumph or tragedy. But remember, right before this triumphal entry, they're told a parable, the way things are about to work out. There's warning not to expect too much too soon. But at the same time, a warning against indifference. We've all seen warning signs before. They often convey this urgent information through this simple phrase or image. But some, I must admit, are a bit out of the ordinary. Have you ever been walking and you see a sign that says, sidewalk ends here? Really? The sidewalk really ends here? You mean the water on the other side? I shouldn't just keep walking because there's not a sidewalk under the water? Or how about the one that says, open the door before entering? Hello? Nah, I'm not going to open it this time. I'd rather just smack right into it. I mean, we know Windex does a good job, but really, a sign like that? And then this one, it's just a little ways from here. It says, bridge out. Open to local traffic only. I'm local. Does that mean I can drive through or I can't? But there's this important lesson here Jesus is teaching us. The king will return. And friends, if we continue to obey, if we continue to trust, if we continue to accept that he is Lord of our lives, we will gain the kingdom. But friends, if we disobey, if we oppose him, we miss out on the greatest reward. It's so much better than a crown for student of the day, or for a reward of candy or trophies. This reward is heaven. But how often our focus remains on this world? I'll never truly understand it. We see how cars will rust. We see how our houses deteriorate and they constantly need repair. We even have seen how moths destroy our clothing. Yet, we keep our focus on them. Jesus is saying to us, there is an opportunity to serve him while we wait. God's kingdom will come in his time. Doing nothing, friends, is not an option. Neutral has never gotten us anywhere. But this day marks the coming of the king. Jesus is approaching Jerusalem. His disciples are hailing him as king. But something happens that stirs our hearts. He begins to weep over the city's failure to grasp its opportunity for salvation. I wonder, as we travel in our own circles of this world, what it would look like for us to weep over those yet to know who Jesus is. You see, friends, there's triumph or there's tragedy at stake. And we can see how passion motivates us. We can see how it moves us to a cause. And that cause is to reach those with the message of Christ. We have to remember, as the Passover festival was near, there were indeed very large crowds pouring into Jerusalem. Theologians say the population may have grew 6 times its normal size. But before us is this confrontation between Jesus, the expected Messiah, and the Jerusalem authorities who strongly reject his claim. But Jesus again sets the tone, and he rides in on a donkey's coat no one has ever ridden before. Now you might sit there and you might ask, why? Why is that so important? You see, it's often described as Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. But in fact, he doesn't reach the city until later. These are the disciples, the pilgrim crowd outside the walls and out of the city with this messianic welcome. Jesus' entire ministry was leading up to this point. The king of Israel is riding in to the capital city. And we know that crowds of disciples are lining the way. They're waving palm branches. They're laying their cloaks in the road and singing and chanting Psalm 118, a messianic song of praise. No doubt, Israel's religious leaders are indignant. They are resentful. You can see them now up in arms. They fear Roman reprisal, and they're offended by what they feel are statements of pure blasphemy. The scripture more or less says this: shut your disciples up. Jesus only shakes his head and he says, how can they not give me glory? And even if they were silenced, even the rocks, yes, you heard me, the rocks would erupt with joy at what God has done, is doing, and will do. So why a king riding a donkey instead of what would thought to be a war horse? Many have wondered why the king, which we find referenced in Zechariah 9:9-10, would ride a donkey into Jerusalem rather than a war horse. It seems a rather odd choice for royalty. Don't kings ride chargers? We know in the Middle Eastern world, leaders rode horses if they rode to war, but donkeys only if they came in peace. 1 Kings 1:33 mentions Solomon riding a donkey on the day he was recognized as the new king of Israel. The mention of this donkey in Zechariah 9 fits the description of a king who would be righteous and having salvation, gentle. Rather than riding to conquer, this king would enter in peace. And friends, here's what that peace looks like. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Now think about those details, those symbols of peace. To take away the chariots means an end to the main vehicle of war. To take away the war horses means there's no need for horses that are used in war. The battle bow broken. There will be no fighting. He's proclaiming peace to the nations. Take heart, my friends. His message will be one of reconciliation. And it continues with each of us today. And we know that his rule shall be from sea to sea. You see, Jesus fulfills this prophecy of Zechariah on his very day that we celebrate as Palm Sunday. The worldwide peace that is proclaimed by this humble king will be a fulfillment of the angel's song in Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. John MacArthur writes in his book, One Perfect Life, Jesus was openly declaring to the people that he was their king and the Messiah they had been waiting for. But friends, I'm sorry to say, the praise these people lavished on Jesus was not because they recognized him as their savior from sin. The tragedy is they welcome him out of their own desire for a messianic deliverer, someone who will lead them in a revolt against Rome. There were many who never even believe in Christ as their Savior, but they hope and continued to hope that perhaps this man would be to them a great deliverer. Tragically, these are the same ones who hail him as king with their many hosannas, who recognize him as the son of David, who came in the name of the Lord. But as he fails to meet their expectations, when he refuses to lead them in this massive revolt against the Roman occupiers, the crowds quickly turn on him. And we know that it's only a few days from now, their hosannas will change to cries of crucify him, crucify him. Friends, those who hailed him as a hero will soon reject and abandon him. This story of the triumphal entry has so many contrasts, and they apply to us as believers today. It's the story of the king who came as a lowly servant on a donkey, not a prancing steed, not in royal robes, but on the clothes of the poor and humble. Jesus Christ comes not to conquer by force as earthly kings, but by love, by grace, by mercy, and his very own sacrifice for his people. You see, his is not a kingdom of armies and splendor, but of lowliness and servanthood. He conquers not nations, but hearts and minds. His message is one of peace with God. If Jesus has made a triumphal entry into our hearts, we know this very day that he will reign there in peace and love forever. And as followers, we have that same ability to exhibit those same qualities. And the world we live in will see the true King living and reigning in triumph within us. As Jesus entered that holy city, he approached the finale of a long journey toward Golgotha. He came to save the lost, and now was the time. This was the place to secure that salvation. This day marks what we call Passion Week, the final 7 days of Jesus' earthly ministry, the beginning of the end of Jesus' work on earth. There's coming a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The worship won't get any more real than then. John records this beautiful scene in heaven that features an eternal celebration of that risen Lord. And I close with these words from Revelation 7:9. There before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. These palm-bearing saints will shout, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Friends, this is triumph, not tragedy. This changes everything. May we forever alter the way we give praise to the Lord here and now as we rise and we proclaim, "Blessed be your name." Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you are the King of our lives. But Father, we know in so many ways we get in the way. And we're asking you, Father, to excuse ourselves that you might be able to enter in as King and ruler of our lives. Some of us are very much aware there's work to be done. And during this Passion Week, may we be filled with the Holy Spirit convicting us and directing us and guiding us into that rightful living. We thank you, Father, that you have come as the King and you will return as the King and establish the kingdom of God. How we look forward to that day. Blessed be your name. Amen.
Please rise and join us, and blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name.
Friends, we'll continue to thirst. We'll continue to long for things to come out of our lives that on our own we've been trying to get out. But we know this day, as Jesus' triumphal entry has arrived, that as we make him King of our lives, ruler of our hearts, that he indeed can take us from the place we find ourselves to a place where we meet eternity on this earth. The kingdom is already here. It lives within each of us. May we go forth in peace, proclaiming his love to others. Until that day, Jesus returns. Amen.